if we started at today's text in James 4, we would say, well, this topic is about money. And the emphasis seems to be about money. And so many Bible verses are like that. That would sort of make sense. And also James 5, later, James 5 will basically say you can't take it with you, as we would say. And James 5 is about quoting his older half-brother about rust and moths destroying the wardrobe and rusting the silver and gold. And James 5 is make sure you pay the employees and don't hold back what's due of them. So we would think, well, this is all about money. Well, money is a part of his main topic is different. The first two verses of today's study will kind of give us still the main topic of speech and communication. And when we get to handling money, it'll be about what motivates people, and then it will affect their speech and communication. So we are at James 4, 11 and 12, and that will be showing us, no, he's really talking about communication. And money is secondary as that motivates us. And what motivates us on the inside influences how we talk. Verse 11, obviously about communication. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He speaks against a brother or judges his brother, speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and capital J judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy you. But who are you to judge your brother? Ever since chapter 1, verse 19, the real topic has been speech and communication. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 1, 19. However, underneath communication is we say what we think and what we think we are. Matthew chapter 12, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. We say what's on the inside. And what's on the inside is kind of our philosophy of life. And it comes out in how we talk and how we deal with other people. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we have a philosophy of life. That's how we think. That affects what we say, or even here, what we say to other people and relationships. James' other contrast was obviously the word of truth, the law of liberty versus worldliness. Worldliness is a philosophy from below. And the other option is wisdom from above, or we would say a doer of the law. James is talking about leaders, and of course it's religious leaders. There is a fake religion, which is mostly social and a priority system. And one can see how rich people especially go high in that system, regardless of their character. And that's why James chapter 2 referred to the treatment of visitors. And he has in mind perhaps a very wealthy church leader, but they are favoritism to other wealthy people. And in that case, James chapter 2, they would say mean things to poor people that came in. But his talk is about leaders and, of course, religious leaders, but sort of think of saved Pharisees. Because I actually think that's what's in mind. James was the leader of the Jerusalem church. Obviously, they're Christians. But many people that were Christians in Jerusalem would be ex-Pharisees. And the Pharisees were basically business people. And they made up all these rules, did they not? They weren't in the Bible. There are a lot of funny rules, like you can't spit on Saturday. which means you can't, if you have a sore throat, you can't gargle it with salt water on Saturday, because if you spit it out, that is work. Why is it work? Well, you spit on the ground, you make a furrow, and that's plowing. Thou shalt not work on Saturday. These are Pharisees' rules. They had other rules that you, if you were thirsty on Saturday, if you had to use two hands to get the water up, that was work. If it's low enough, you can dip it in with one hand and get the bucket out, then you can drink. There were all these rules. They had a Sabbath day's journey. What's that? Well, you can't go very far on Saturday because travel would be work, especially in those days. But you could put tents all over town. And you can say, I am a Sabbath-based journey from my tent. Then I have another tent, and I'm a Sabbath-based journey from my other tent. And then you have a third tent, I'm a Sabbath-day journey from my other tent. So do you realize he's talking about people that have made all these rules to judge others, but they're not in the Bible. They're religious rules. And people can have religious personal preferences. We do here. I don't have to preach for the pulpit, and I can walk around, but believe me, I don't think we would learn as much. Thou shalt have a pulpit, it doesn't say so. And that's a personal preference. We have a preference to have this style of the service. You have to? No, don't have to. But the people he's talking to are religious leaders, and the leaders in Jerusalem tend to be ex-Pharisees, and even if not, they tend to be the wealthier people running the church. And he's talking about they're judgmental, and especially in communication. They're judgmental. They would actually put the common people down who didn't know all these rules. You know, you can swear by the gold in the temple, and you don't have to do it unless you swear by the temple. That kind of thing. They did have all these legal loopholes and little rules. So that's what this is talking about. Now, we do have to kind of put it together. Don't judge, but be a doer of the law, right? Don't judge, but be a doer of the law. They're both here. So when we follow the Bible, we're becoming a doer of the law, and we're not really a judge. And I had this years ago in college. I went to the Methodist college, and even then, homosexuality was okay with a lot of the students. So I said, no, that's wrong. Well, who are you to judge? I said, I didn't judge, God did. And I'm following God, and you are not. Okay? There's a little game. Judge not. No, I just said, I didn't. God did. And I agree with it, and you don't. So both of these are true, judge not, but also be a doer of the law. So when God judges something, and we just agree with it, we're not being judgmental. We're just following God's law. And so he wants both of them here, does he not? Don't judge other people, but be a doer of the law. So when the Bible says something, that's not part of judge not. God judged that one. I do think that here is also a relationship between motivation. Motivation to make a profit. There is a holy ambition. That was the verse before we started. Let me go back and read it. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, or sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you. A holy motivation, including the business motivation, a holy motivation, even to make a profit, is I want to be right in the sight of the Lord, and I want him to approve, and I want him to exalt. That's different than selfish motivation. Selfish motivation and any kind of goal, but a business goal, selfish motivation would kind of be,
I like to spread gossip about my opponents. I like to bring them down. So motivation, even a prophet motivation, almost more than a churchy motivation, a prophet motivation would be very, very easy to put other people down, even sharing gossip and doing everything to destroy their reputation. And at the same time, the leaders were being judgmental, but not on points where the Bible speaks. They were being judgmental of other people in the business world especially, but not on areas where the Bible speaks. So, judge not is true if the Bible doesn't say about it. But if the Bible says something about it, then you're just doing the law to agree with it. Now we can think about verse 13 and 14. And there is a connection between what we say and how we think. And in verses 13 and 14, goodness, they're very, very motivated, but God's not a part of it. And that can happen. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. When I think of vapor, I think of a cold day and you go out and you can see the breath. Or we can think of a vapor of a tea kettle. It's temporary, not lasting. But what we have here is someone who is very, very ambitious, but it is that selfish ambition. James 3:16, where he said, where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there is disorder in every evil thing. Ambition can be holy. I would make sure that we teach all of the young people ambition can be holy. Now, here's obviously the difference again. Without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Selfish ambition is unholy. Disorder in every evil thing. We're looking kind of at selfish ambition in the example in verses 13 and 14. Talking about business in verses 13 and 14 says it's a selfish ambition to do anything to make money and actually say anything to make money, because that's the main topic still. Say anything to make money and leave God out of it. And it's like the jealous ambition. Evil and disorder and every evil thing. A holy ambition is to be a doer of the law. Now, verse 11 said, you're not a doer of the law. These people he's talking about aren't doing the law. They're making money, but they're not doing it according to the Word of God. They're not following the work ethics and the money ethics in the Bible. They evidently have a very ambitious attitude. They're just going to go out there and make it. The vicious, ambitious attitude, this jealous attitude goes along with judging. Thought I would mention, I did hear on the news a Nexus Lexus report whereby the media, the most common verse the media quotes is judge not. You think it would be John 3:16. That's the most common verse Christians quote. And it probably, for sure, is the most common verse society quotes. But the media's most common verse is, judge not. So again, they're doing that to make Christians be quiet. And I remember seeing a pro-life demonstration in Kansas, I forget which city, where the Christians were in favor and parading around in favor of saving the babies, and then the next thing you see on the news is Jesuit. You might remember the response, we didn't judge, God did. He's judging you. So anyway, the people in mind here, they probably were in the church. They probably were Christians, but they're not doers of the law. The selfish ambition will lead to what they say about other people, and it might not even be a lie. It might even be true, it's just something you probably shouldn't say. Now that happens too. You know something and it's true, but it's kind of gossip to pass it along and it might be best not to do it. But these people here are just leaving out God's will in life, and there's no holy ambition. It's all money. Make that money. Before I turn the page, John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge according to righteous judgment. That's another mindset where they tell you, judge not. Oh, but Jesus said, judge according to righteous judgment. I think when he told them, judge not, one of the thoughts is stop judging Jesus. And he's talking to his opponents, judge not, stop judging Jesus. Do not judge according to appearances, that's what James is against, but judge according to righteous judgment. So they're trying to make money, and they are leaving God out of it, and they're very, very ambitious, and that affects how they treat other people and what they say. Now, James is not against ambition. That's chapter 4, verse 10 again. He's not against ambition. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, I have it memorized in King James, and he will exalt you. Now, to tell all the young people, don't be selfishly ambitious, but be ambitious. Now, let's call it again a holy ambition. It is interesting to look in the concordance at the word pride, and nearly always in the Bible, pride is wrong, but not always boasting. Isn't that funny? They're two different words. Not always confident. When Paul said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, is that evil for him to say so? Well, it doesn't seem to be evil. So he sort of had a boasting in what God could do through him. He was humble and needed God and did try to get God's strength to do something. And then after decades of doing something, when people would attack him, he would say, I did this, I did that, I did this. And Paul's case, I'm an apostle and you need to listen to me. So Paul was not sinfully proud, but Paul was glad for what God could do through him. The boasting was not all wrong. 2 Corinthians 10:15, he's not boasting beyond the measure. Everything he talked about to the Corinthians, who had critics among them, he did them all. He did all this stuff. You remember the list in 2 Corinthians? He was in a shipwreck. He was whipped. He did this, and did that. And he actually went to Corinth and started a church there and said they should obey what he had to say. So the word pride is often independence of God and selfish. And that is sin. Jealousy and selfish ambition. But on the other hand, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me was his attitude, and he did a lot of things, and he, when attacked, he would make a list of all the things that he did. So in the Bible, not all times is a reference to boasting something that's wrong. Now, it is wrong to compare to others. So it's more of a personal attitude of I need God, in that sense I'm humble, and I needed God in the past such and such and such and such happened, and he felt good about it. There is also the idea of confidence. Self-worth and self-confidence is a mistake. But recognizing God gives us worth, recognizing God gives us confidence is good. 2 Corinthians 3:5 teaches it. I don't know whether to quote King James or the modern. The King James has the word sufficiency. The modern has the word adequacy. But in both translations, Paul had a lot of confidence, and didn't he? Didn't he have a lot of confidence? But it was confidence in what God could do through him. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient or adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, verse 6, who has made us able ministers, sufficient ministers of the new covenant. So was Paul ambitious? Yeah, really. But not selfish. Ambitious in a sense of I need God to empower. I need God's strength. I can't get there without God. But was he ambitious? Very ambitious. After a while that he boasts about it. Well, not willingly, but if people attacked him and wouldn't obey the Bible, then he did. 2 Corinthians 10 and 11. Or, I have fought a good fight and so forth. That's 2 Timothy. So holy ambition, wanting God's approval, even wanting God to exalt, wanting to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, holy ambition is good. It's just the selfish ambition that is not good. Now, if we have holy ambition, we will say we need God, we want God's approval, we want God to exalt us in his time and in his way, and in the meantime, we can be confident about it. Back to the world's philosophy and the Bible's philosophy. The world's philosophy is raise kids, tell them they can do anything they want to do. Bad idea. I'm sorry. Bad idea. Life isn't that way. You have total freedom and you can do anything you want to do. Bad idea. They're going to get discouraged. They're going to get to the end of their rope someday. But you can say you can do anything God wants you to do. I mean, we're humbly dependent upon him, go ahead and feel confident. Even feel bold. Don't be scared. Try. So a holy ambition is a good thing. Galatians 2:20, it is I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I'll read verse 15 now. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. It is good to make plans. I make plans every year, usually on vacation. After we get rested and can think straight again, then I'm out wandering around the woods in Michigan. Well, what do I want to do when I get back? Usually make plans. Jesus said, count the cost. Make plans. Make plans is very good. On the other hand, you make plans and you let God do what he wants. So sometimes the plans happen, sometimes they don't. Making plans is good, but if the Lord wills is a very good attitude also. I think of David, 2 Chronicles 6:8. He wanted to build a temple. Did he ever build a temple? No. But it was good that it was in his heart to build the temple. So I would say, make plans, make big plans. Try great things. If they don't all work out, then be like David. God's happy that we tried. We got more done that we tried than if we didn't. Made no plans at all. But flexibility is good. That's kind of a wait on the Lord, Psalm 27, or Isaiah 40, or Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and even if you don't understand it, and he will direct the paths. If the Lord wills. Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow. You cannot know what a day will bring forth if the Lord wills. Verse 16, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now, he's probably talking to Christians, but for heaven's sake, boasting in arrogance. Just go home and turn the TV on.
bragging about how foolish they are. Really. Really, really. Boasting in your arrogance. He's talking to Christians, and they need to boast in the Lord and what the Lord can do through us, but not to boast in arrogance. And if we think we can do everything without Him, what a mistake. I went around on purpose the idea that life is short, because I think the real meaning here is life is too short to waste it. A more positive way of saying it is life is long enough to do God's plan. Life is long enough to do God's plan. We just can't waste it. And he's talking about people who are wasting it. And he's coming back to, you need to do God's plan and have a holy ambition. Ephesians 5:6, making the most of your time, for the days are evil. Psalm 90, verse 12, it's a good graduation speech. Teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So is life short? Well, yes and no. It's short if we waste it, but it's not too short to do all that God wants to do with us. Now let's look at verse 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So he's talking to religious type leaders in the church, and all of life is about making money and saying things that will make them money, even if they're mean to other people. And very often they were leaving out doing what is good. So you can be very successful and never read the Bible. You can be very successful and even skip going to church all the time. And if you let me say, a person can be very successful and never evangelize. That one I've thought about since I'm a kid. When I was a kid, at age 10, I would go up and down the road and evangelize. All of them, all the neighbors, all of them. And even though I'm very intellectual and personally prefer that, it is not right to know what is good. I never do it. And I think people do. They know what is good, and I think he's saying here, yes, all this other stuff, but don't leave God out. And when we know what is right to do, we know what's on God's heart, make sure we do that. Will you come, please?